Would you turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 28? In Matthew chapter 28, we read verses 16 through the end of the chapter, if you would, please. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. These three words that are next are quite interesting words, but some doubted. He, our Christ, has resurrected from the dead. He has appeared himself and shown himself alive after many infallible proofs. He has commissioned his first church. He told the 11 to tarry at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. They are doing that. They are gathered at Jerusalem, waiting for the promise of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But as they gather together, we read these words, and they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I guess it should be somewhat humbling to us that even among that group of apostles who saw the resurrected Christ, that there were some who doubted. We always pick on Peter for sticking his foot in his mouth and giving him, so you know, always running out there ahead. Peter was prone to, you know, what my mother always tried to say, you know, engage your brain before you engage your mouth. Well, Peter was pretty prone not to listen to that advice, and he would say things, and a lot of times we pick on Peter about, you know, him sinking, and he gets out to walk on water and he sinks. Well, I will remind you this, that none of the rest of them swung their leg over the boat either. You understand? So, I mean, we pick on Peter about sinking, but none of the rest of them tried. So, at least he tried. But in this case, you know, we can't just pick on Peter. We have to realize, and it says, and some doubted. And some doubted. And may God help us. You know, Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. So, in Matthew 28, verse number 18, we pick this up. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, the word power there is to be understood as all authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In this glorious portion of Scripture, we have what has been titled and been called for many years, the Great Commission. The Great Commission. The Lord Jesus Christ commissions his church here in this setting and in this place to go to preach the gospel, to baptize believers, and to teach them the all things. As we continue on with our study of Bible doctrine, of the things that we've been talking about on Sunday evenings, I have this evening the subject of Baptist and the Great Commission. Baptist and the Great Commission. And I'm going to, as much as I can this evening, try to be plain with you. I want to be honest with you. And if God knows my heart, and I know He does, but as well as I may know my own heart, I say this without any superficial humility. But I suppose that if I were to try and finger or put a finger on one of the greatest weaknesses in my life, it would be me personally carrying out the Great Commission as been given to the Lord's church. It may sound strange to you. You say, well, preacher, you get up week in, week out, and you preach, and you tell people, and you warn people, and I try to do that. But it's a lot easier in a setting like this to warn sinners, or standing behind that pulpit to warn sinners, than it is out in the community or out in the workplace or having the the holy boldness to stand in the marketplace, whatever it is. I mean, that may indeed, you may think, well, preacher, you know, don't you have it together when it comes to this? I don't have it together when it comes to this. Maybe you think and maybe you feel like, you know, that your witnessing, your testimony is one of your strengths. Maybe it is, but it's not one of mine. It's not one of mine. So I say with as much genuineness, with as much sincerity as I can, that my personal lack of fulfilling this command grieves my heart. It just grieves my heart. It concerns me that I'm not more concerned about lost men and women. That concerns me. Now, you apply it to your own heart, if you will. This is not a confessional, and you're not my priest, but I'm going to tell you how I feel this evening. I just feel like in many, many ways, this great commission, is it indeed great? Yes, it's great. Have we been commissioned? Yes, we have. Am I personally carrying this out like I should? No. I realize I don't pray like I should, don't read as much as I should, I don't preach with as much preparation. I mean, we all fail. But if you were to rank things in order of failure, I'd have to put this up here pretty well near the top. And that's carrying out the Great Commission. And so I would ask you as an individual, and then not only as an individual, but as a body of believers, Memorial Heights Baptist Church, how well do we succeed in carrying out this commission? In carrying out this commission. I'm not interested in doing a battle between the Calvinistic side and the Arminian side. I'm not interested in doing that. One side goes too far one way, another one they go too far another way. And what you and I must have is we must have a zeal for souls. We've got to have a zeal for souls. At the very heart of the Great Commission is a concern for lost men and women. If we don't care, then we won't go. You understand? I mean, if we don't care, then we won't. Then there's no urgency to go. So as I say these things to you this evening, I care. I care, but I don't care as much as I should. And as I sat in my study and as I prepared this and I sat there and I looked at this, it burdened me, it challenged me that God would give me a greater heart and a greater compassion for lost men and women around us who, unless God intervenes, they will face an eternity in the flames of a place called hell. Now, I mean, we can sugarcoat it, and I know that preaching on, you know, he's one of them fire and brimstone preachers. I know that's not incredibly popular anymore, but there is a place called hell, and it's real.
Amen.
And you and I need to have a compassion for men and women who are headed that way. We get so wrapped up in looking at all the symptoms. We see their conduct, we hear their speech, we see the way they conduct themselves, and that frustrates us and it aggravates us. But we need to be willing to look beyond that and see that therein lies a lost soul who needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And be willing to look beyond some poor behavior, some poor conduct, some poor language, and see their need of salvation. And that's our calling. Now, this commission was given to the Lord's church. It was not given to these 11 as individuals. It was given to the church.
Amen.
That church that He established, that He built, that has perpetuated herself as like begets like, and as like begets like, down through the generations, church has begotten a church, which has begotten a church all the way up to where we are now. That's why we demand church authority. That's why we demand one church authorized another. And that same commission that Christ gave to the 11 as they gathered on the mountaintop that day applies to you and I sitting in Perry, Georgia tonight. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our duty. There are many ways in which that can be done, but it needs to be done.
Amen.
And I'll get on past this, but I hope that you and I, as our time together as pastor and church, we grow in a greater zeal for the lost and within this community, those who are struggling right here in our area, battling with addiction and battling with broken homes, that you and I may try to look beyond their faults and see what their need is. And that need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, where's our heart for these men and women? Where's our heart for them, okay? My father has often said that we, as God's people, spend more time praying to keep saints out of heaven than we do to keep sinners out of hell. Now, stew on that a little while. Somebody is sick, and don't misunderstand me. I understand. I had a mother that battled with cancer. I understand what it is to get serious about praying for illness. You understand? But I think if you were to sit down and measure out our prayer lives, I wonder how much more time we spend trying to keep God's people out of heaven than we do lost men and women out of hell. Think about it. A sick child demands our prayers. Absolutely it does. A sick spouse, this demands our attention. It warrants a fervent prayer. But so does your next door neighbor who's dying and going to hell.
That's right.
And so does the person across the street. So does that co-worker of yours. Do we spend more time praying for saints than we do for sinners?
Amen.
Just think about that this evening. I'm not telling you to neglect one for the other. I'm just saying there ought to be some balance and there ought to be both.
Amen.
There's got to be both in this. You and I, you know, we've been around each other long enough to know that I believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. I do.
Amen.
But I also believe that God has ordained means and it has pleased God through the communication of the gospel to save them which believe.
Amen.
That's how God has ordained His means. To run out here and try to get empty professions just so we can say what we've done, you know, that doesn't mean a hill of beans to anything. It hurts more than it helps. But to sit back here and say God's going to do what God's going to do and it doesn't matter what you and I do, that's just as equally wrong. God has ordained means, and that means is the communication of the gospel is what He is pleased to use to call His elect out of darkness and into light.
Amen.
And may we each have a fervency, a zeal. We was on the way back last night. And I'm not being mean. I don't mean to sound mean. But as we came back, we stopped and ate dinner last night on the way back from the beach. And I was cutting up with the waitress. And she began to tell me, she had a pretty good testimony of faith. And she talked like I believe it was a saved woman.
Amen.
And but she was telling about revival they had. She said last week, she said, we saved 75 last week. I know what she means, but the problem with that is I'm afraid I know what she means.
Yeah.
If you understand what I'm saying in that. She got 75 to make a pledge, to sign a card. They got 75 to do something. Maybe God did save all 75 of them. Maybe He did. I don't know. You understand? If He did, amen. If He saved one, amen.
Amen.
But you and I can't save people. Now that was her language. Was that not her language? We saved 75. Listen, she didn't save anybody. She can't save herself, let alone save someone else. You and I, we can't save men and women. But what we can do is we can tell them about the one that can save them.
Amen.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, I just want to say, I tell you, as our time together progresses, you and I trust, are going to be more and more involved within this community in communicating the gospel to those who need it. I won't ask you to turn there, but in Mark's gospel, the Lord says, Mark records it this way, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Mark's gospel is a whole lot more just straight to the point than some of the others are. Everything takes time, everything takes money. And dear friends, with some time, with some money, well, I hope that we can communicate the gospel. You can't do anything without investing some time and or some money. It just takes it. I'm not trying to be sorry. It just takes. It takes investment of time or it takes an investment of money. Something as simple as sermon audio. I talked to you about that this morning. I believe that is a means by which this church can carry out the Great Commission. That we are, and if you'll take the time to go back there and look, that you and I, as a Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, have the avenue of at $29.95 a month, we can preach all over the world. We're preaching the gospel in places where it's forbidden to preach the gospel. Amen? I mean, we are over in places that you and I will never set foot on. That is a means by which, it is a ministry by which you and I share the responsibility of carrying out this Great Commission. I believe that's part of our outreach. And to me, that's pretty cheap, $29.95 a month to preach all over the world. You know, that's pretty good. It really is. The support of missionaries is another means by which we as a local church body carry out the commission. I mentioned this to you. And if you tell the preacher I said this, I call all of you liars. But Brother Bob Jones texted me at 5:08 this morning. But you know what I believe? I believe Bob Jones was up praying for me and for this church at 5:08 this morning. That's what I believe. He's one of them old timers that believes in that. Ain't nothing wrong with it, I can tell you.
Amen.
We support Brother Bob, whether he's in Ohio. And that man, he travels. I'll say that for him. He's busy. Our support of him, we have a portion. When he preaches and God saves, and I mean that he preaches and God saves, and that's the way it always is, God saves.
Amen.
You and I share a measure of the joy of that because we helped in that. It may be $100 a month help, but you get enough churches together putting $100 a month, you can get something done.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter if it's these fellas over here in Ukraine or wherever they are, them guys are... Brother Curtis Pugh's ministry that he began, and he's now dealing with the Choctaw Indians or whoever that we help support as well. These guys over there in Romania is where I'm trying to get to. Romania. You want to read a missionary report, read that. Now, them boys are busy. I mean, them fellas are busy. They go out and they print literature and give out thousands of pieces of literature. We have a hand in that because we help support that work. Sometimes, you know, I have to be careful. I'm not too hard or critical of missionaries. I have to caution my own heart about that. Because I like to see missionaries doing mission work. I really do. I like to see them carrying out the commission. And I'll move on from that. But these are some of the means by which you and I can carry out the Great Commission. However, it does not relinquish our responsibility to those right here within our own community. You understand that? We send the money all over the world. We can send it to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. But if we neglect Jerusalem, we neglect our calling.
Amen.
We are to begin at Jerusalem and then to go out. And they are to go out. A couple of you brethren have told me, Brother Lewis, anytime you want to go, let me go. Let me know, I'll be there. You want to go out and door knock, and I'll go. And right or wrong, when the weather turns, I'm not going to door knock when it's 97 or 98 degrees out. That's just me. If you want to go, I won't stop you. But I sweat profusely in an air-conditioned building, let alone when it's 97 or 98 degrees. And anyway, there's other means by which, you know, things can be done. But with God being my helper, we... You know, that anyone who is ready and willing to go, as soon as it cools off a little bit, we're going to do some door knocking. I don't want that to be the only means by which we try to evangelize this community. Take this as I mean it. Our society has changed. Brother Gordon, I know he knocked on thousands of doors right here in this community. I know they have. And I know that some of you have been with him when he did that. Okay? But our society has changed a lot. A lot of you go door knocking now, you do good to get somebody to come to the door. That's just. And I've been out on visitation. I've done door knocking. I've done it. And I don't blame people. Some big, burly, ugly, red-headed dude steps up on my front porch, I'm liable not to open the door for him either. You understand? Someone like you who's an older lady... Some big strength. I don't care if he's got a Bible in his hand. I understand. Our society is saying you just can't trust people, and I understand that. So door knocking is a means, but it's not the only means by which we have an obligation to fulfill within this community. preacher brethren and I, we talk about that, you know, and some friends of mine, a gentleman who pastors up in Lexington, he knocked on 10,000 doors. He's knocked on 10,000 doors. You know how many visitors he got out of that? About one.
Right.
The people, it just doesn't work like it used to.
Right.
But you have to understand the results are not ours. You understand? We have the responsibility to go. That's our responsibility. Do we want fruits for our labors? Well, amen. We want fruits for our labors. My experience is I go down here and door knock, God brings somebody from over here. That's what my experience has been.
Right.
It's been my experience every single time. I think God does that just so I remember it wasn't my gift standing on somebody's porch that got them into God's house.
Right.
Maybe we need that little bit of humility. But our responsibility is not to save. We can't save. Our responsibility is to go. Go ye therefore. Go and sow. That's our responsibility. You can't make it grow. That ought to preach right there. Go, sow, but you can't make it grow. You can't. Those of you who farm, make that seed germinate, would you? Make that seed germinate and make it grow. I'm going to tell you something. You can stare at it. You can haggle with it. You can do whatever you want to, but you're not going to make it grow. You can't. But we do have a responsibility to put the seed in the ground. And let me go ahead and tell you what else. We have a responsibility to come back and water that every once in a while.
Amen.
To pray that God would send some rain, that God would send some sun, and that He might bring, that seed may find fertile ground in which to grow. He can give life and He can grow. He can bring life out of death. You and I can't do that. But God can. But without the seed, is there anything ever going to grow? You understand? Turn with me. Psalms 126. Psalms 126. Throughout my ministry, I have never preached a whole lot on the sermon on the Great Commission, simply because I have felt more like it's the great omission in my own life. Somebody said one time that God gave Baptists not only the Great Commission, but He also gave them the Great Permission. Not everybody has the right to carry out this commission. You understand that? A lot of people out here fishing without a license. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. God gave that commission to His church. He didn't give it to everybody. He gave that commission to His church. There's a lot of people out baptizing and don't have the authority to baptize. There's a lot of people out preaching the gospel that don't have the authority to preach the gospel. They're teaching without the authority to do that. God gave that to His church. His church has the keys in the kingdom. That is His church. Okay? And so while it is the Great Commission, it's also the Great Permission, but I'm concerned about you and I, and you know, we may not be hard shell in theology, but sometimes we get hard shell in practice, and rather than it being a Great Commission, it maybe it's a Great Omission. The Great Omission. Psalms 126 says this in verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall do what?
Reap in joy.
Reap in joy. You want to know why I'm afraid we don't do a whole lot of reaping in joy? We don't do much sowing in tears.
Right.
Now, I might ask you, when's the last time you wept over a sinner?
Amen.
Apostle Paul said if you just sow sparingly, you'd reap sparingly. I mean, if you just sow a little, you'll reap a little. I mean, doesn't the common law, doesn't the law of nature tell you that? You plant a few little things, you'll normally harvest a few little things. But if you plant a lot, normally, if you know God brings the sun and the rain, you'll harvest a lot. He that goeth forth and weepeth, Psalms 126:6, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Man, may God help us to stand up and sing, bring it into sheaves and mean it. Bringing in the sheaves. That song's running through my head. Sowing for the Master. Sowing seeds of kindness. I don't know all the words to it, but you know the song. This is our calling. He that goeth forth weeping shall doubtless. Do you hear that? Doubtless. I think sometimes we have not because we sow not. We don't reap because we're not sowing. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed. Is that gospel not precious seed? shall doubtless come again. Doubtless come again. I believe we had a right of expectation that if we'll go, God will bless. If we'll go, God will bless. I hope it's the desire of every person within Memorial Heights Baptist Church to see this body grow, to see God add, to see God save, to see God working in the lives of His children. Your little ones that come in and out of these doors, these sons and sisters and daughters and mothers and all of these that God would save them. You know, we've gone through all kinds of Bible doctrine, and I'm going to, as God helps me, I'm going to preach Bible doctrine. That is our commission. We'll get to that in just a minute. That is part of our commission, to preach the all things. That's part of it. But first and foremost is, are you trusting Christ? That's it, and that should be it. The guy here has been working on this air conditioner. He's asking me a series of questions, asking me about this and asking me what I believe about that. And the main thing is, Joe, do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Amen.
You don't, I don't believe in sitting around and arguing and debating doctrine with a lost man.
Amen.
I don't know why I've got into this fist pounding lately, but I'm trying to make my point here. Are you trusting? That's it. Now, we got to build on that. Amen. You got to build on that. That's the foundation. You got to build on that.
Amen.
But you can't build unless you got the foundation. Sadly, I'm afraid that too many of God's people, and you just take it and do what you want with it, I'm afraid too many of God's people want to do the great or carry out the Great Commission by proxy. We want to evangelize by proxy. In other words, we want to employ someone to do it for us rather than us doing it ourselves. Let me balance out what I have seen. The support of missionaries, great. Sermon audio, great. Community outreach through PVO, these things, that's great. These are things that I think we should be involved in. But that does not negate a responsibility of personal evangelism.
Amen.
Personal, you cannot evangelize by proxy alone. You can't just say, well, we support such and such, and that's enough. No, that's not enough. That's a start, but that's not enough. Let me just throw this in here. It don't matter how much money you throw at something if you're not living like the way a Christian ought to live. You hear me? We may throw a bucket of money all over the world to appease our conscience, but if we're not living a testimony of salvation before the world, you're just about throwing your money out the window. You know, I'm sure God can still bless it and use it, but if you don't evangelize within your home, evangelize within your family, we're missing out. We're missing out. I'm interested, and let's take notice of just what it said. All power, all authority, all right is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:19. Go. Go. Go who? Go ye, therefore. I want us to take careful notice of the order of events in the Great Commission. All of these things that I've said, and there are three things, and I'll get through them in the next 10 minutes and quit. Three things in the Great Commission: go, baptize, teach. That's the Great Commission. They're wrapped up in those three things. Go, make disciples. Understanding that you and I cannot make disciples, understanding that we preach, the Holy Spirit saves, and through that, disciples are made. Go ye therefore. Number two, we baptize. Number three, we teach them the all things. There's three steps in that Great Commission: to go, to baptize, and to teach. And I think it's important that we remember that divinely given order of events. That's how it is to be done. We don't baptize and then, you know, God saves. That's not how it is. We believe in believers' baptism. Amen. We believe in salvation by grace through faith and that alone. There's no works of the flesh, baptism or anything else that can save. But we go first. We do not baptize first. We do not teach first. This is one of the things I think we as Baptist men and women, we need to get our mind around this. Sometimes I think we like these pre-made Christians. I don't know if anybody understands what I say when I say that. I know what I mean. I hope I can translate it to you. We want people to come in these doors back here and they already dress like Christians and they already talk like Christians and they already look like Christians and even smell like the way Christians ought to smell. That's what we want. But I think we need to be reminded that Christ came to save sinners. Can I get up in here in this microphone? Sinners. Sinners. We open these doors back here to any and everyone. Any and all.
Amen.
Any and all. I don't care if it's a homeless guy. And I know sometimes it's awkward. We have this homeless man who visits with us. I know it's awkward. Some don't try to tell me it's not. It is. It is. It can be awkward. I know that it can be awkward. I don't know about that man. The only thing I know about him, he doesn't have Christ. He needs Christ. That's the only thing I can tell you about that. I don't care if they're white, black, purple, pink,
Amen.
Green, yellow. You understand? I don't care.
Amen.
And if you do, you ought to repent and get right about
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Now, I just tell you, I don't care about their sexual orientation. I don't care about all that. I care that Christ came to save sinners.
Amen.
Now, I don't want anybody in here acting ugly. I don't want anybody in here conducting themselves in an improper way. I don't want nobody in here in a bikini or a bathing suit. But you got to expect sinners are going to act like sinners. They're going to dress like sinners. They're going to talk like sinners. They're going to smell like sinners.
Amen.
You understand?
Yeah.
But that's who Christ came to save. Them old snot-headed Pharisees said, "This man receiveth sinners."
Amen.
I'm glad he does, aren't you?
Amen.
It probably was a time you didn't dress just like you dress and act and talk just the way you do right now. This man received the sinners, and as long as I'm pastoring this church, sinners will be welcome here.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about people coming in and acting a nut. You know that's not what I mean. And it may come a time we have to ask somebody to leave.
Amen.
I mean, that may come.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, it'll have to be because they're out of order,
yeah.
Not because of what they look like, color of their skin, or anything else. And I know I'm in middle Georgia, and there's some old things that die hard, but I don't care. I don't know how much plainer I can be than that.
Amen.
This is God's healing house for sinners. This is the place where the hopeless find hope, where the homeless find an eternal dwelling place, where sinners find forgiveness. This is God's house. And part of our duty in carrying out the commission is to receive sinners.
Amen.
And to preach the gospel unto them. While we realize that not everybody's going to go and I mentioned this morning. Not everybody's going to be commissioned to go across the globe and to serve as a missionary and evangelize. We need men and women here who are willing, not only to those who come in these doors, but to go out those doors and to tell others about Christ. You don't have to be a theologian to tell somebody what Jesus has done for you.
Amen.
Sometimes I think we get this idea that you got to be all, super theological and you got to, know every book of the Bible and be able to quote Scripture and all this. Let me tell you what witnessing is about. Witnessing is about one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread.
Amen.
That's what it's about. That old man in the Bible, born blind, he's brought before the council, the scribes and Pharisees. What can you tell us about this man Jesus? Is he this? Is he that? What can you tell us about him? Man said, "I can't tell you a whole lot about him. The only thing I can tell you is once I was blind, and now I can see."
Amen.
That's what witnessing is.
Amen.
It's telling people, once I was blind, but now I can see. Once I was a prisoner, now I've been set free. I once was bound to the bondage of sin, but by God's good grace, I've been set at liberty. People act like the Christian life is this chains and a ball and chains of I can't do this and I can't do that. And there's liberty in salvation. There's freedom in conversion. It's living the good life, not just some rules and regulations, but it's enjoying life. If people come out here and knock on these doors and want handouts, who's living from dirty motel room to dirty motel room, they call, I'm sorry, you may try to call down here sometimes to get a busy signal. I set the phone off a hook just so I can read and pray.
Amen.
study. I'm sorry, but I got my cell phone. If you need me, you can reach me on my cell phone. But people calling all the time wanting something. Why? Because everything they have is wrapped up in this world. That ain't much. I can tell you that. That's not much. You don't have to be some super theologian. When was the last time? When was the last time you told somebody what Jesus has done for you? When's the last time that you told somebody the Spirit of God laid somebody on your heart and you just told somebody, say, I just want to tell you what Christ has done for me. We cannot save. Man, I tell you, if we could, we'd cram Christ down people's head, wouldn't we? I mean, if we could, wouldn't we just tear their little head open and pour Jesus in it if we could? That's what we... But you can't. You just can't. You can sure pray over them and may God help us to weep over them. And then I'm going to hurry up. And we're going. Not only do you go, but then after God saves, we baptize. That's the commission. That's the order that's given. I don't find any scriptural mandate to deny anyone who has a credible statement of salvation baptism. Anybody hear what I just said? I don't have any reason. I don't find any scriptural warrant to deny anyone who has a credible statement of faith baptism. If somebody has come forward and they have a credible statement of faith, I don't see any reason not to baptize them. That's my opinion. There's some churches that do things a little different. They want to put people on probation period and do this. And every situation is somewhat unique with everything. But somebody confesses faith in Christ. Every example I find right here, every example that I find in this book, somebody confesses faith. They say, what do we do? And they say, be baptized.
Amen.
Baptized. I'm concerned about some of our own folks who come in and out of these doors week after week after week, who's never made a profession of faith and never followed the Lord in baptism. I'm concerned whether or not they're saved.
Amen.
And then teach. Baptize and then teach them the all things. What are we to teach? The answer, teaching them to observe. And that word observe is an interesting word. It means to guard over, to guard, to protect. My duty, and as one of my duties as a pastor of this church, is to teach you the all things, teach you to observe the all things, teach you the doctrine that you may guard over the doctrine. Doctrine's not an ugly word. That's a pretty word. Doctrine's a pretty word. It's
Amen.
To teach you to guard the doctrine. I know I'm corny and cheesy, I know, but that's just me, so... We're to teach them the all things. Don't, you know, sometimes we want to try to teach people the all things and not even been saved. That's the wrong order. And then finally in this Great Commission, and I'm wrapping it up, and finally in this Great Commission, I just want you to know something. We go, God saves, we baptize, we disciple them, we teach them the all things. And then don't you like how it is? And lo, I am with you always. I think sometimes we forget about that divine direction. I think sometimes we forget Jesus said, I'm with you always. I'm with you always.